Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Which one is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home. They never go home, those boys.
That's... Yeah. They have asked for that, really.
Well, you can laugh. I want to walk up.
I'm a little bit of an idealist, but having said that, I want to be like me.
You don't know what you're talking about.
What did you know?
I'm like to stay alive for 6 days. I'm going to need it.
I'd say it to your face, and I'll say it to you now.
I'm down Swanfield, and we'll see them, won't we?
What you doing down here, you shawnee man?
We're only 2 weekends into the new Premier League season, and already some trends are starting to emerge. Things are going to get ugly for Mikel Arteta at Arsenal. Big Shane Duffy is having a career renaissance at Brighton. And Pep Guardiola is once again heaping ridiculously over-the-top praise on a striker he's probably going to get rid of at the end of the season. Welcome to the Second Captain's Football Podcast. Hi, Ken.
Owen, how are you?
I'm all right. Last year was Sergio Aguero. What a goal. What a player. What a man. See you later, Sergio. Thanks for the memories. He did actually say that. I went back. There was a few different ones, but one of them was what a goal. What a player. What a man.
Yeah. And this was that the one when he was crying?
He's so nice. He's so nice.
Oh, could have been.
It
could have been.
There were
a couple of big ones. This year, it's Gabriel Jesus, man of the match in their 5-0 win against Norwich.
If one person deserves respect and prize and everything, it's him, because he's never complained. It's one of the reasons why when you wake up in the morning, go to work, is to see this type of players, this type of human beings. His mom and dad has to be so proud to have a person like him, and can play a striker, can play left, can play right, and always what the team needs, always can come, play 10 minutes from the bench, play the best 10 minutes he can play. So it's fantastic. So all of us, we have to learn from him, and I'm more than satisfied that he was nominated as a man of the match.
That was Pep speaking to the BBC afterwards. So my question to you, Ken, is how much is Jesus getting sold for next summer?
Well, yeah, he's kind of already more or less said to announce that Jesus is not a striker anymore. Like, well, he hasn't quite, but it looks as though he now thinks Jesus is more of a winger. And there was a comment about Ferran Torres having more of a sense of the goal than Gabriel Jesus, who sort of surprises me. I mean, Jesus is a player who has scored quite a few goals. I mean, the goal that I always associate with him, I mean, he's scored lots of different types of goals. I associated him largely with arriving on the end of a move and tapping a simple goal into an unguarded net.
Like most of the Man City players.
Yeah, I mean, it's Man City's goal. I mean, and in fairness, they did it twice. They scored exactly the same goal twice against Norwich, which I think reflects badly on Norwich. You know, because you can't... You know, I mean... Norwich obviously are going to lose against Man City. I mean, that's what. Although did they beat Man City this season that they were in the Premier League previously under Daniel Farke? I think they actually did, but that was at Carrow Road. This one was in Manchester, and they conceded exactly the same goal where Bernardo Silva came deep. Gabriel Jesus then ran into space behind, and Kyle Walker passed a straight ball for Jesus running in behind all that space of defence. Now, to get caught by it once, okay, it's going to happen. It shouldn't happen a second time. It's a really bad sign for Norris.
Daniel Farke said it afterwards as well. He's like, we worked on this during the week and we really shouldn't be conceding the exact same goal. But the Jesus stuff is funny because are we entering this strange territory where Pep Guardiola actively wants his striker, his only striker, not to score any more goals? I mean, he's more pleased about him not scoring and being involved in loads of great play than I. There might actually be a bonus. Well, now this might bring in, you know, fairness issues and so forth, but I was just thinking there could even be a bonus for not scoring goals, the opposite of a goal scoring bonus.
What, you think that Pep needs to is appealing to the board? He's doing the Harry Redknapp. He's like, I don't have anyone who can score here.
I think he just likes exactly what you're saying. He just is leaning into the idea that Jesus isn't the goal scorer. That's not what he wants from his strikers. Yeah. He wants them to do everything else but score a goal.
He wants self-sacrifice. He wants, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he'd be pretty happy with that. The goal I was going to say that Jesus scored, that makes me think, that surprises me when I hear Guardiola say something like Ferran Torres has a better sense of the goal, was the one that, remember the one he scored against Liverpool in the 1-1 draw last season, where the ball, it was like a Romario type goal. It was like a ball into him, a control and a kind of a turn in the same move, and then a toe poke into the net, which struck me as like, this is a real striker's goal. Like, only a striker can score this goal. And I haven't really seen Torres. I mean, I've seen Torres score some great goals, like shots into the top corner, that ridiculous flick that he did from the free kick last season where he kind of, I don't even know what kind of a volley it was, but it was not a conventional strike. I mean, he has got a lot of ability, but I don't know if he's really, it was a strange thing. Anyway, look, it's all academic. Man City are supposed to sign Harry Kane. I mean, they wouldn't be signing Harry Kane if they really thought any of these guys were like what the level that they needed as a centre forward. Mm,
Harry Kane back on the pitch, of course, for Spurs.
Harry Kane, he's working from home, the Wolves fans were singing. Well, I don't know if it was the Wolves or Tottenham fans, but it was good.
What else made an impression of me? I quite enjoyed the Premier Sports game I had, Ken. Bit of a wild one.
I was watching. Owen, I was watching. I was watching you, and bad luck on your prediction. Dave McIntyre ended up getting the 2-2.
Yeah, I went 2-1 Everton.
Yeah, no, I to be honest, I thought it was going to all come up McDevitt. I mean, I thought it was a good game. I think that Everton are actually going better than I would have expected. Now, the thing is, this has happened a few times with Everton. You know, in terms of me looking at them going, yeah, you know, this is actually an Everton team which is going somewhere. I mean, I've thought it previously when Ancelotti was kind of managing that good start they had to the last season, and I also thought it. I have to confess. I mean, people who've listened to this podcast, some of them might remember that there was a moment when Marco Silva was the manager, and I thought they might be getting somewhere as well. And obviously, that didn't work out. But maybe they are gonna. Maybe this is what's gonna happen. I mean, I think like Benitez has started well. Players obviously sort of playing for him. You know, whatever about like Everton fans not liking Benitez. You know, we shouldn't have this guy. I can completely understand Everton fans feeling that way, but players don't think that way at all. I don't think, you know, players couldn't care less about that. All they're interested in is this guy. Does this guy seem to be any good? And I think Benitez always has managed to impress players that while they may not be thinking, oh, you know, I can't wait to go for like Friday pints, you know, with Rafa, like that he is someone who sets high standards. Like I think it's quite interesting how does a manager sort of create a strong sort of spirit or sense of togetherness in the team? And it's not really by being a nice guy or by being friendly with the players or by creating a friendly vibe or a laid back sort of, that's not really how it's done at all. You know, how can someone like Benitez, who is a standoffish, you know, aloof guy who only ever talks about football obsessionally, you know, he doesn't do jokes, you know, he doesn't do much, he doesn't spend much time trying to charm people. But I find that his teams always do have this kind of, this quality of, I don't know if passion is the word. He does get the teams playing with intensity. They're not like, they don't phone it in. And I think Everton are kind of, are playing that way now, you know, and they've got like obviously better forward players than Newcastle had, you know, and clearly they're spending way, way more money than Newcastle ever did. I mentioned Newcastle just because it was his most recent Premier League job.
Although not this summer, they haven't really been able to spend.
But I mean, still the money is in the team, you know, I mean, they have, they have been spending bigger than almost any other club in the world over the past few seasons. You know, I mean, it's not as though all the spending has necessarily been good or, I mean, not all the money is in the team. Clearly, you know, there's guys like Rodriguez so on and so forth who aren't there. But, you know, it does, it's going better. You know, I think fans will, if they kind of see that this is going well, they'll quite quickly start to support Benitez. So maybe he will, you know, maybe it's going to surprise me in terms of, although, again, I always end up saying, oh, this Everton are going really well, and then something Evertonizes. So
there was a real good sense of, this was a good, the fans are back game, I thought. This I'm still basking in this glow for the first couple of weeks. Like Elland Road, first time they've had all their fans there since they got back to the Premier League. In fact, even since they got promoted, they weren't there for the end of the promotion season either. So it was a really sort of feral atmosphere. There was some great stuff when Dominic Calvert-Lewin scored the first goal for Everton. It was a penalty. And, you know, there's a big build-up to it because VAR took ages, even though like VAR's getting a lot of praise, but it was like, took nearly 5 minutes to give a pretty clear penalty. But anyway,
Very clear penalty. Like, I mean, a penalty which was so clear in real time. That
I've already noticed a few VAR complaints coming in now. Some refs saying that, and the refereeing in general, some managers saying, oh, maybe it's a bit too lenient now. So I don't know. This glow that it had last week might be fading. I'm sure it's something we're going to have to talk about as the season goes on. But they eventually get given the penalty. So there's loads of time for the fans to get ready to start shouting at Dominic Calvert-Lewin and all that stuff, which they do. Then he scores and gives it the cups, his hands to his ears and all that, shushes the crowd. They obviously don't shush. They start going crazy. There's a guy giving a wanker sign to him and all. He's going absolutely, I was like, yes!
This is what it's all about.
This is what football's all about. Some guy caught on a guy he's never met before in his life, a wanker in front of full view of the watching world.
As long as, you know, people do so at a, that, you know, they respect all the invisible walls that are there, because that hasn't actually been the case in all the games this season. Like, did you see what happened in the Marseille game?
Oh yeah, this is the Payet thing. Thrown at him and he threw something back.
So this is the second time this has happened in Marseille's two away matches so far this season. It happened at Montpellier. They continued and played the rest of the game. It happened last night against Nice, another of their sort of local, obviously Nice and Marseille are not too far away from each other on the coast. And this time they Marseille were actually losing 1-0 at the time. Dolberg had scored for Nice, but it was the 76th minute, and basically Payet, who's playing for Marseille, was going to the corner, and as had been happening throughout the game, was getting pelted with stuff. He was hit with, I think, a bottle or a plastic bottle or something. He fell down, got up, grabbed the bottle, threw it back at the crowd. Well, have you seen the Malice at the Palace documentary?
I haven't seen it yet. I do very clearly recall the Malice at the Palace incident itself. Yeah, the big brawl at that NBA game years ago.
Yeah,
is it a good documentary?
I enjoyed it. Like, I mean, I didn't know much about the details. I did remember like Ron Artest going into the crowd. I didn't really appreciate what a massive effect it had on like Jermaine O'Neal, you know, and all these. Like, it had big aftershocks for the careers of these players. But yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. I mean, it's like an hour, just a little over an hour documentary. But like, it is that thing of getting into a confrontation with a crowd, suddenly we're into a crazy zone here. It's like, I mean, Jamie Carragher did it at Arsenal, didn't he? He threw a coin back, like a coin had been thrown at him, and he threw it back into the crowd, which was like, oh my God. But in this case, Payet threw back, and then so the fans just come straight for him. The fans just surge forward out of the stand onto the field and into like a tussle confrontation with the players, and obviously the stewards all run in to try and break it up, and there's just this big roiling mass of people, like a big scrum of people fighting. The fans then sort of all seem to slip back into the stand. It's quite strange how they almost did it quickly. But then Jorge Sampaoli, Marseille manager, is now getting involved in a fight. So then the fans can, you know, it's like there's a bit in Malice of the Palace, I think it's Jermaine O'Neal, where he's talking about how the crowd just takes their lead completely from what they see the players do. So if you do this, they do this. You know, if you throw a punch, then suddenly everyone wants to throw one. Right. And this is what you could see in this sort of crazy scene. So Marseille then refused to go back. They're like, we're not. This is the second time this has happened. The league want us to play on, but we don't feel our safety is guaranteed. So the match is off. So what's going to happen as a result of that? I don't know. But it was kind of an insane scene. So, you know, passion, good. Mm-hmm. Fighting, you know, better to avoid it. I don't know what you would have called this incident on in the Malice of the Palace style. Breach of the peace at Nice? Or, I mean, look, I don't know, Owen. There's plenty of time for us to work that out. But look, it's, it was part of our world.
I'll go with that one. A quick mention of Duffy as well, just before we go for this one. Two wins for Brighton. Top of the league. Well, not quite top of the league. Where are they? They're up there somewhere anyway. They're unbeaten. They've two wins. Shane Duffy after his...
Jonathan Wilson's prediction looking good. What was it? Fifth to eighth or something?
No, it went lower than that. He started really bigging Brighton up in a pre-season preview.
And they might go 12th. Like,
so how high are they going to go? And he goes, well, I think they could finish just outside the top 10.
Well, they've got the back broken.
Yeah, after a very unenjoyable sabbatical, lad, Celtic, he's back. And he was man of the match in his first game and scores a brilliant header in this one. A real Duffy header, complete with a bit of off-the-bar action. It was beautiful. And then a knee slide to celebrate. All his teammates were absolutely delighted with him, as they would. Fans were there. It was at home. And it was, it's just great to see the big man having a renaissance of his career. Listen, we'll stop there because we've way more to talk about tomorrow. Full football podcast on the way for World Service members. Also on the World Service this week, Ushie McConville and Paul Flynn go at it again.
Anti-Dublin bias is the biggest load of bollocks.
This time they're previewing the All-Ireland football semi-final between Kerry and Tyrone. Will it go off again? It has done the last couple of times, so who knows. You can sign up on secondcaptains.com for £5 a month plus VAT. Our All-Ireland hurling chat is out today, and that is available to everyone after Limerick put the seal on it yesterday and put themselves down as one of the all-time greats. I'm sure you'll agree with that, Ken, with your Limerick links. We'll wrap things up now. Thanks, Kenny.
Thank you very much, Owen.
Thanks for listening. Talk to you during the week if you're a World Service member.
What phone is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.